Welcome to the 100-Year Real Estate Investor Show. I am your host, Gino Barbaro, and this is the show dedicated to personal financial engineering. We have a very special guest today, one of our very own 100-year team members, Norm Westervelt. Norm has been working with overfunded whole life insurance for over 7 years and has spent time in real estate development as a licensed GC and a home builder. Probably painful, and his personal real estate holdings are currently in single family homes. A smoking deal recently came up, and Norm was able to snatch it up by leveraging the cash value inside his own whole life policy. Welcome to the show, Norm. How you doing?
I am 100%, Gina. Thank you so much for having me.
This is going to be a lot of fun, Norm, because you are an entrepreneur. I love the book. You have What Would Billionaires Do, right? I'm going to hold it up for everybody because it's a freaking awesome book. It changed my mindset and it made me an even bigger advocate of whole life because I was trying to tell people, well, people don't have that urgency. It's going to happen to me one time soon. Don't let it happen to you all of a sudden and you get caught up. Take time to plan. Let's jump in to entrepreneurs because you said entrepreneurs need five things and that's who we speak to on this 100-year show.
Yeah, Gino, we did chat about that, and it starts with me. When I have a conversation with entrepreneurs about overfunded whole life, I ask them about five areas in their life. I ask them about their cash flow, their taxes, their insurance, their investing, and their estate planning. And if and you and Jake have these wonderful visuals that you do is when you talk to your followers, and if you can imagine that as a five-legged stool, but the one that is the strongest pillar is right in the middle, and that's insurance. That's building a moat of protection around your castle, you know, to where, you know, whether it's general liability, an umbrella insurance, disability, or in this case, we're talking about overfunded whole life. That's the main pillar that holds everything up.
What sold you early on as a whole life advocate?
It's interesting that you started with the story explaining about my time in real estate. I was a licensed contractor, commercial contractor. I had real estate developments, commercial developments, and I was holding a lot of inventory in 2006. But all my background was financial. So when I set up my entities, I protected it from my personal assets. And that's a different part of the conversation, but it has everything to do with the overfunded whole life. During that time period, my policies saved my skin. So number one, that cash was protected, you know, from the predators, the banks, the lenders, the unreasonable things that were going on in that environment. But it also too, it gave me the ability to settle out things when I needed to. And then as you mentioned most recently, it was there instantly when a very, very good deal came up. But it all started years and years years ago. When I was 18 years old, my mom and dad handed me a whole life policy. It was a $15,000 face amount, and it had a $3,000 cash value in it. You know, and I was a college student. I needed $3,000. I cashed it out, not even thinking what it would do. But then once I studied the product and I understood what it could do for an entrepreneur, because that's what I ended up doing. All my background is in finance, but I have been a lifetime entrepreneur buying and selling businesses. And I just knew in my heart, the most painful thing in the world to me was going into the bank, showing them all my information, getting completely naked in front of them and getting turned down for a loan. Well, what was a way around that? And then I became aware through a few people that frankly were very, very successful. And so we do the same thing. You know, I know that people that are successful get your attention. Those people get my attention too. And so I started asking them, you know, what are the type of things that you do, you know, for your cash? And this whole concept around whole life would come up over and over and over again, you know. So I had the same concerns at the time that everybody else did, you know, that, oh, you know, life insurance, number one, that's a morbid thought. Number two, I don't want to talk about it. Number three, you know, that's my brother-in-law trying to sell me that. And so we have this natural instinct, society makes us push it aside. But then when I started to realize not only it does doesn't have this legacy component, but a cash value component, then it really began to get my attention as an entrepreneur. And as I said, in a certain time period of my life, it saved my skin.
Mm-hmm. Norm, can you just share with me some of the pushback you get from maybe would-be entrepreneurs or people who are starting out on their journey? Because as I told you, every 8 net figure net worth individual that we've interviewed, they all have whole life, but they don't start out with 8 figures. They start out with 5, 6 figures, then 7 figures and get to 8. What are some of the pushbacks you get from people about whole life? And how would you say to them, that's not the right way to be looking at that?
Well, number one, they're going to be concerned about the cost. So, you know, there's this whole concept around that we've heard it for years, that you buy maybe a term policy and invest the difference, but the trigger there is how much cheaper a term policy is. And that's fine. And we can talk about convertible term in a minute here, but the biggest pushback is going to be when they go, oh, well, here's $1 million face policy that's term. Here's $1 million face policy that's whole life, but it costs so much more. And it's because they don't understand the features and the mechanism of a whole life policy and how it can grow in cash value. That's the number one issue. The number two issue is that they go, well, Norm, you're talking to me about this because you can utilize cash within it. If I'm just paying the premium, it takes a while for that cash value to accumulate, maybe as much as 3 to 5 years. And the beautiful thing about 100-year real estate is that when I talk to real estate investors, they get it. You know, when they invest in a property, they know their returns. I was listening to a Jake and Gino podcast this morning where you're saying your very first investment, it took 3 years to see a return on that. You know, a good entrepreneur understands that everything hasn't ramped. Everything has a timeline. And so real estate investors actually get it really quickly that, oh, okay, if I'm just doing the minimum premium, I won't see some cash value for 3 to 5 years. But that's one of the most beautiful triggers about this particular product, that individuals that can overfund that, if they can put additional cash in there, which we call paid up additions, PUAs, then that cash is accessible much, much quicker. So the example in that situation would be, you know, when I had that opportunity a while ago to invest in a single family home in that particular case, you know, I could have had $100,000 sitting in my bank account, you know, just kind of sitting there making the 1% or whatever it's making now. But instead, I put that $100,000 into a whole life policy. Part of it paid the premium. Part of it stayed in cash and was growing. And so it was simply a phone call. When I was ready to make that investment, 2 days later, I look at my bank account and it had been wire transferred.
Mm-hmm. Your book, you say, well, let me rephrase, let me go back and just recap what you said, because it's important. You're talking about cost, right? Price versus value. If you're looking strictly at price, and let's be honest, 99% of all term policies expire without being utilized. So you're basically renting versus owning. That's what Jake and I said. And the second part is the time. Take a little bit of time. Things don't happen. It takes time for things to accumulate. I bought my first life insurance policy, whole life, back in the year 2000. I was just sharing this on another show. 20 years later, it is rocking and rolling, and I have been able to save that money, because what happens is it forces you to save every year. It's painful the first couple of years because it feels like it's an expense, but you're actually funding it, and you're forced to fund it, and it's a great way, because buy term and invest the difference really means buy term and go buy a flat screen TV, because 99% of the people that take that advice do not or don't have the discipline to actually take the rest of that money and actually, because something always pops up when you're younger. It's car seats, it's baby food. When you're older, it's vacations, it's cars, whatever that is. It's very difficult to actually discipline yourself to do that. So, I mean, I don't know if you want to add anything on to that.
Well, just my high endorsement to our brand. the whole concept around 100 years is having that longer term concept. And as you just, you know, instant gratification isn't anything except that. So when individuals, entrepreneurs, real estate investors take that long term view, whether it's the property they're buying or whether it's the money that they're putting into a overfunded whole life policy, then it's so much easier. It's a mindset thing, you know, and you're absolutely right. I talked to you, you know, we have so many followers, you know, of Jake and Gino on 100 Year Real Estate. You know, these kids are in their 30s, you know, and they, you know, have, you know, they're young, they got a child and they're trying to invest in properties. And, you know, but that's the other thing that's beautiful about this product too, is there's ways to meet in the middle, you know, so an individual may think, hey, I need $1 million of coverage, you know, but I can't afford that $1 million premium. That's fine. Let's get $500,000 in whole life and then $500,000 in convertible term, and we'll blend it and convert that term into a whole life policy later on. You know, so the big thing that I would echo off of your comments is the long view. You know, you're thinking about not only this generation, but the next generation too, in how you spend your dollars.
I love that. And when I read the book, What Would the Rockefellers Do, which is now changing into What Would Billionaires Do? The problem that I have with the book is most people may read that and go, I don't want to be a billionaire. I don't want to aspire to that. And I think that's a shame, because the book is really about mindset and whether you have $100,000 to leave to your legacy or you have $17 million or $1 billion, it doesn't make a difference. It's all about the mindset of the wealthy. The book is phenomenal. I love it because it made me think about my mortality, and it brought me back to the time when my father passed away and we're setting up our estate planning the month before his passing away, and we weren't prepared. And it actually left, I think, an indelible scar upon my mother and myself as well. And thinking about the future, I don't want that to happen to my wife. How many of you out there are not ready? You don't have a plan in place. And that's a shame. Read the book. I mean, I love the idea of, do you want to be the Carnegies where you amass this amazing wealth and you're not a financial steward of your wealth? Or do you want to be a family like the Rockefellers where even no matter how much money you make, you are actually able to control that? And that's what I think an entrepreneur wants to do. We want to create wealth, but we want to create impact with that money. Once we've had that money, how do we make that money impact and last and stay for the next generation? And I think whole life is a really big component to that. And people who are wealthy and just understand the rules of money, that is an amazing way. Because as a real estate investor, you may pass away and you may not have liquidity. Well, guess what? The liquidity can be provided by one of these policies. What do you like about the book? What really attracted you to the book? And what were some of the high takeaways from the book for you?
The practicality, you know, so it is, as you mentioned, you know, it's called What Would the Rockefellers Do? And I've changed that to What Would Billionaires Do? I like this. I did not write this book, but I liked it so much, I bought the rights to it. And it's the simplicity to me, Gino. You know, it's, you know, there, everybody, you know, and you and I hear it every single day, broken hearts over, you know, lost money in cryptocurrency or you know, NFTs or, you know, just, or I actually placed more money with my money manager, even though he lost me 10 to 20% last year, you know, and so, but this is the most simplest thing in the world. It's a reoccurring payment. You choose monthly, quarterly, annually. It's a reoccurring payment. It's predictable and it grows. It's a contract. You make a contract with the insurance company that if I pay this amount, they will pay this amount of interest on it. And if it's a mutual insurance company, they will pay an additional amount in dividends on top of that. So the beauty of this is, you know, the simple growth of the product itself, but then the simple coverage of the legacy component that if something were to happen to me, then I know that my family, my estate, my heirs are completely taken care of. You know, and you just made an excellent, you worked right up to an excellent point that's very, very important and near and dear to my heart. You know, of the, I mean, so many of our listeners have partners, you know, and they're involved in partnerships, limiteds, generals, or whatever. You know, and I have several businesses myself. And I have partners in a lot of those businesses because it's this is too much of a heavy lift for us to do by ourselves. So we have partners, and that's great. And I love all my partners. I take a lot of time to select them, you know, and pick the right ones, you know, but I always say, I love my partners. I just don't want my wife to be partners with them. So I've got life insurance on all these individuals that in the event of my death, even if my wife wanted to own all these businesses, she won't have a choice. It pulls a trigger, and then that the money in that insurance policy buys the shares out, and then that money goes to my estate.
I love that. In the book, for me, I'm reading the front cover, Legacy, Sustainable Wealth, Cash Flow, Impact, Freedom, Cash flow banking. These are all things that resonate with the entrepreneur. And what I loved about the book is it gave me a framework, an idea of what I want my legacy to look like. I actually wrote in my plan to say that I want my children to read these books. I want certain things to happen. I'm really starting to take control of what I want my money to do. So it's a great place to start reading the book to understand how you can start formulating your estate. And some of you out there may say, well, I don't really need anything right now. I just started out. Well, at the very least, if you've got children, who's going to be the guardian for the children? Do you at least want a will? Do you own a property or two? Do you want to start creating a revocable trust? If you're more advanced, maybe do you need an irrevocable trust? How do you start planning that out? And I think that's the power of being an entrepreneur. You have control of all these things. But if you don't know, you need to pick up the book and start thinking about it. Because I think ultimately, we all want to be the Rockefellers. We all want to be on the top 200 of the wealthiest families after seven generations. That would be amazing. But we don't have to be. We can still create impact with our families. And the decisions we make today are going to, as we say, impact our grandkids and our great-grandkids. Anything else in the book that people should really gravitate towards? Because I personally love the idea of, wow, you're never too young to start, number one. 67% of Americans do not have an estate plan. Let me say that again. 67% of Americans do not have an estate plan. So if you're listening to this, two out of three of you don't. That one out of three, the two that don't, please buy the book, start reading it, start planning, because before you know it, it is gone. You get older, whole life gets to be more expensive for you. It's based on mortality. So the earlier you start, the better it is for you. And it's also the mindset. It allows you to start saving and allocating money into these plans to be able to utilize in the short term and the long term. That's why it's called life insurance. It's called life insurance because you're supposed to use it while you're alive. And it's also amazing for when you pass away as well. Anything else in the book, Norm?
You know, it just and you touched on this earlier as I'm transitioning the title to What Would Billionaires Do? You know, the what people will find in the book is that the these billionaires, you know, they're just like you and me. You know, they're human beings. They have family. They have children. They have grandchildren. You know, just because they have one or two more zeros behind their net worth, you know, than I do, doesn't mean they're, you know, they're not exactly just like all of us, you and me and everybody listening to this. And so the old saying goes, the only way to get started is to get started. So as it relates, for example, you know, to an estate plan, you know, because people, you know, will go, they will tell me, oh, well, they've got these elaborate trusts and these elaborate holding companies and all this and the other thing. And I'm like, look, you know, for less than $1,000, sometimes you can start a basic will. So start a basic will and realize that this isn't an annual event for the rest of your life. Every year you need to re-examine your estate. You know, you've got your balance sheet in front of you, I guarantee, because you're a real estate investor. You know what your balance sheet is. You review that almost monthly, if not weekly. Your real estate, your estate planning needs to be reviewed annually. And so maybe it's just a simple will this year. Maybe next year you add a trust to it. Maybe a revocable trust after that. You know, then maybe a holding company after that. You know, the important thing is that you get started. And as you mentioned, the life insurance coverage process underwriting, you know, doesn't happen overnight. You know, some situations are impaired cases. We need a little more time to get those through. And the beautiful thing is, an individual can go through the process. They're not obligated to do anything. They don't have to take the policy. They probably will, you know, if they work with the 100-year real estate team, you know, but the important thing is to start the process, get the process going.
This one of the last questions, I've heard this so often, and I don't even know how to answer it, but what do you think is the right amount of insurance? If somebody's out here listening, what should I do as far as amount of death benefit? I don't even know where to start with that. What would your answer be to that?
Well, it always starts, and this is, you know, life insurance 101, and it is the correct starting point, is what is the annual household income right now, and do we want to keep that level of income if something were to happen to me? And so it's basically simple math after that, you know, so if for an example, an individual, you know, is comfortable at $100,000, well, you know, $1 million, you know, the burn off on that, obviously 10 years, maybe a little interest may accumulate on that. So they're looking at something more like a $5 million in phase coverage, you know, so it starts with the household expenses, and then it becomes purpose driven after that. It would be, you know, do I want to pay off, you know, obligations, you know, when I die? Do I want that to go, you know, to pay off, you know, taxes? Or, you know, do I want that to, you know, as I said, I do an annual valuation on my businesses every year. And that's how we set and gauge how much life insurance the partners have on it. So form follows function after you've covered your household income.
I love that. There's a process to it. And for all the entrepreneurs out there, Norm, you know what Norm's talking about. I look at the net worth every month because I've got money coming in. I got money flowing out. We just bought a deal. I need to update it. And whatever you focus on tends to grow. And every year your financial picture changes. You've added another property. You've added another bank account. Continue to update that as well. So if something ever does happen to you, you're protected. Let me end it by that. Those entrepreneurs, those five things that the entrepreneur needs. I think everyone should write those down because they're important. It's cash flow, number one. Taxes, not what you make, it's what you keep, right? Insurance, number three, which is one of those pillars that we don't like to talk about because it's not a sexy thing. And it's one of those expenses that are really painful. But if you ever need insurance, I had my restaurant that burned down in August of 2011. Never liked paying those premiums for the previous 13 years. But when the restaurant burned down, guess what? That insurance was really great. And something, God forbid, may happen to you or a loved one if you're not covered. What happens? So that insurance is so crucial. You're building the castle. Why not protect it with the proper insurance? Number four is that estate planning that we've been talking about. I mean, estate planning is so important because if something happens to myself and my children inherit my mess, am I going to pit one child against another as far as money? Do I want to create divisions within the family? I want to try to avoid that. It's my duty and my obligation as a financial steward to try to avoid that. And that infighting amongst the family, which will inevitably occur, but I can lessen that at least through my directive and through taking responsibility. The 100-year is all about responsibility and long-termism. And the last one was investing. And that's what we talk about as far as entrepreneurs. We're making that money in these small businesses. Let's reallocate that money into other assets. And I think one of those assets is whole life. You can put money in a whole life policy, borrow the money out, put it into another investment. You're creating two assets from that $1. So it's amazing. Norm, any final thoughts?
Just gratitude, Gino. You know, this is an amazing product and an amazing concept. And I'm more than happy to have a conversation with anybody about it.
Well, that conversation, you can go to 100yearrei.com. Book a call with Norm, because it really, I think, starts out with education, because you've heard it and Wall Street is bombarding you. by term. It's not an investment. The returns, I'm only making 4%. I can make 30% in real estate. That's not the conversation you need to have. You need to have the conversation of what is it going to do for me personally? And if you're aspiring to be a high net worth individual, or you want to create wealth and you want to have the legacy wealth and the legacy creation of that, this is an amazing pillar to have. So go to 100100yearrei.com and book your call. Thanks, Norm.
You're welcome, Gina. Thank you.